We work hard and we pray hard to raise our kids successfully. Yet in spite of all of our devotions and church programs, our love, wisdom, counseling, and modeling, and yes, even despite our prayers, it can still seem that our kids are destined to be victims of our ever de-civilizing culture. But what about God in all this? Does God allow us and our kids to endure hardships in order to accomplish His perfect will in His perfect time? Well, certainly His grace sustains us and keeps us even when our faith falls short. So we'd like to offer some encouragement today and even some counsel for moms and dads that God's way is still the right way, even in the 21st century. That's next on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello once again, and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program helping teens in crisis and helping their families. Our host on Licensed to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rozell, and may I say, being here on a horse farm, Trace and I are both suffering from pollen and related situations. So welcome to Congestion today. Trace, we're going to be talking today with a good friend of the Licensed Parent broadcast. This gentleman has been with us actually a number of times, and his book, Wanting to Believe, I think, is going to be a tremendous encouragement to those who might be questioning whether God and His Word are really still relevant for raising kids and building families today.
Well, Rich, I read the book, and it's always very encouraging to hear again just how gracious and redemptive our God really is, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to raising kids. For when the world presses us all sides, Rich, and temptations bombard us, and yep. all seems lost, where else can we go but unto the Lord?
You're absolutely right. Well, we're going to be going to the Word. We're also going to be going to the words from today's guest. The author of the book we just mentioned is Ryan Dobson. Now, Ryan grew up the second of two children in the famous family counselor, author, and radio broadcasting Hall of Famer, Father Dr. James Dobson, which, by the way, being raised in that spotlight, I'm sure is no easy task. But with the conviction that comes from knowing your purpose and loving every minute of it, Ryan has committed his life to really passionately pursue his calling in Christ. Whether it's writing books or co-hosting the syndicated radio show Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, to speaking all across the country, Ryan uses every opportunity to call people out of the moral relativism of today's society, and that's something we're all about, and into the ultimate adventure of following Christ. Now, that's a great story and a great call. He is an in-demand speaker. He leads short-term missions trips and men's retreats and has this brand new book that we are happy to be talking about today. Ryan Dobson has his bachelor's degree from Biola University. He lives in Colorado with his wife, Laura, and they have two wonderful children.
Well, Ryan, you know, when you mention the name Ryan Dobson, it's hard to divorce that name from the iconic Dr. James Dobson. And though you've been on Licensed to Parent with your dad, you've also done this program solo a few times now. And
yeah.
I've always been careful not to refer to your dad too many times because I wasn't sure how you felt about all that. But after after reading your book, Wanting to Believe, it doesn't appear you have a problem with that at all, and for very good reason. Can you comment on that?
Absolutely. No, he deserves. You know, honestly, I'll be 45 in a month, so I have grown up a bunch. When I was younger, it was hard to be referred to as the son of James Dobson all the time. Mm-hmm. It was hard. You had to find your own identity, and you had to learn how to overcome people's expectations and not, you know, not let it bother you. And it sure did for a long time. But as I get older, my goodness, the work that my dad has done over the decades he's been serving the Lord, he deserves a million times more credit than he's getting and a million times more praise. He's helped literally countless thousands upon thousands and millions of people. Yeah. Every single day we get to help more and more people. And you know, it is such a huge, huge honor.
Well, you work with your dad. All of my kids have worked here at Shepherd's Hill Academy with me. What counsel do you have for parents who might work with their kids?
Talk about it ahead of time. Yeah. And really figure out how to not ruin a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because business is never more important than a relationship.
Absolutely.
You've got to be able to leave work at work and leave home at home. You can't bring family squabbles into the office. You can't bring office squabbles into the family. Right. It's difficult. You know, my dad and I are doing a really good job of it, but we've been doing this now for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And there have been some times where it's tough.
Yeah.
But honestly, you know, I have learned to really listen to my dad, because he's gotten to where he is by being very, very smart. And he's also now listening to me. And it's very, very humbling
sure.
to see him take advice that I give him every now and then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really humbling, and it's a lot of pressure. But more of that stuff is with the online world and the digital distribution and,
right.
and things like that. I mean, he's 79. He didn't grow up with the internet. That's my expertise and specialty.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, he has given me the greatest advice across all areas of my life, because he's lived it. It is so funny. These people kick out the old people in their offices, and I think, what are you doing? You're losing
right.
your brain trust.
That's exactly
these
right.
These people have
right.
been around the block.
Mm-hmm.
I had my own ministry, and I had a board member that was hijacking it, and I didn't know what to do. I call my dad.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, Ryan, in 1988, we had da-da-da. He's been through that situation 4 times. Gave me amazing advice, smoothed the situation out, didn't harm relationships, didn't cause too much awkwardness. And I started experiencing burnout, and his dad experienced burnout. And he's really, really helped me learn how to manage stress and how to manage my work life and not to take on more than I can, you know, more than I can chew. And,
yeah.
And we butt heads every now and then.
Sure.
You know, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. I'm stubborn and I'm young and I'm trying to make my own way, and we've got to learn to give each other grace.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious about this. You were saying, you know, that we've been doing this for 5 years. I know that in growing up, once I crossed whatever that threshold is that moves you from being, you know, in your adolescent years into adulthood, I immediately started respecting my parents, even retrospectively, more than I had before. And when I started having
oh, yeah.
kids, oh my gosh, did I respect my parents. All of a sudden, all those things that I used to really, you know, grind my teeth about made perfect sense. I now understood why they did it.
Oh yeah.
Could you, because you came from the, oh my gosh, I'm having to live in the shadow of my dad as a young man. And, you know, now, as you mentioned, you're in your mid-40s. Do you think you and your dad could have worked together, say, 10 years ago in the way you have now? Or is your relationship still evolving?
I don't think we could have done this at 30. No, I was, you know, honestly, I was more immature. I think it would have been more of a power struggle. And, mm-hmm. you know, I need recognition for the things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've learned so much humility from him, because you don't, you know, you just don't need that. I was reading Zig Ziglar's book the other day. I'm doing, he's got this thing called Pick Four. It's on goal setting and accomplishing goals. And he has got the most amazing quote, and it could have come from my dad. It reminds me of him. It said, "You can have everything in life you want
mm-hmm.
if you will just help enough other people get what they want."
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
playing
with
those
my
scenes.
Dad, that's what I watch him do. How can I help as many people as I possibly can?
Yeah.
How can I meet people right when they're in crisis and need? And that's, I mean, we love working for a guy that's always thinking about helping those in need.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? But Ryan, Jesus said that to whom much is given, much will be required. And many would argue
yeah.
that growing up Dobson, you've been given much. What do you think you've been given most? And from that, what can you give our parents today that would encourage them to sustain and cultivate their faith in Christ as they raise their kids in a modern-day Babylon?
Oh, yeah. Two things. The best possible role models I could have ever had, and a platform to share it.
Yeah.
You know, having my parents, this year they're going to celebrate 55 years of marriage.
Wow.
And they still adore each other. They love each other.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hang out with each other, spend time with each other, go on vacation, watch TV, watch movies. You know, after 55 years, that's what they want. That I will never, ever, ever, ever be able to calculate the impact that's had on my life. That's amazing.
Is half of parenting just getting it right with your spouse?
Oh, sure. I mean, listen, what are your kids looking at? And what are their role models?
Sure.
What is your daughter going to be looking for in a date
right.
and in a boyfriend and in a future husband?
Mm-hmm.
what does she have to go on? You know, people always ask me, what's it like growing up as the son of James Dobson? And I always answer it the same way. I don't know. I was only raised by one set of parents. What's it like to be raised by your parents?
Yeah.
How do you describe that? I can give you experiences, but I can't tell you how it's different from your family life because I haven't lived in your family life.
That's true. Sure.
We often encourage people with the fact that if we just keep praying for our wayward kids, that they will eventually wake up one day and then they'll come around. How do we explain King David's son, Absalom, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament? What does this say about the potential danger in having or being a rebellious child?
Yeah, you know, God can bring them back, and they can still choose to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Proverbs is a set of promises.
Right.
I think it's a set of likelihoods.
Yeah, I heard Adrian Rogers say it's general principles spoken to a people in general with general results.
Right, right. It's in a way, it's similar to certain diets. You know, the paleo diet generally will work for almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then it doesn't, but generally, you know, if you want to lose weight, gain muscle mass, paleo can help you out. Yeah. You know, get rid of grains, more protein, sure. You know, things like that. But it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
It's not a guarantee because we have free will.
Sure.
You know, Andrew Palau has been out here talking about his book, which is just a brilliant, it's one of, if not the best prodigal book I've ever read.
Does he have a dad?
The Secret Life of a Fool.
Does he have a popular dad?
Oh, Luis Palau? You know, around the world, Luis Palau is one of the most famous evangelists ever. In fact,
right.
I'm traveling to New York City this summer to hear him preach in Central Park. And Andrew will preach too.
That's awesome.
Kevin's going to be there. He runs the business. Andrew is an evangelist, and Luis is an evangelist. And, you know, they grew up in the limelight of an evangelist. That's a tough road to walk. And when you base someone's expectations on another person, you're always going to come up short.
Sure.
You know, Lee Strobel is a brilliant, brilliant man. And he's got an absolutely genius son named Kyle. I mean, Kyle is amazing, but he's not Lee.
Yeah.
So if you are expecting Kyle to be Lee, you'll be very disappointed,
right.
Which would be so sad because he is an amazing person. Josh McDowell,
right.
And Sean McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDowell, I get to interview him at the end of next month, and I cannot wait. And then in another month, I'm going to interview Sean. Well, Sean isn't Josh.
Right.
If you expect Sean to be Josh, you'll be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you express that disappointment to Sean, it could hurt his feelings because Sean may be one of the smartest people I've ever known.
Yeah.
He is brilliant in ways I'll never be able to explain. He is winsome and friendly and kind and generous, and he is winning souls to Christ like crazy. His example is just unbelievable. He's a teacher and a dad and an author. I love Sean McDowell. You know, I work at a camp in the summer, and I was telling the high school kids like that, and they said I had a bro crush on Sean McDowell. I said, I do.
Yeah.
I love that guy. And we shouldn't expect him to be anything except Sean McDowell. And so I do understand that. And I experienced lots and lots and lots of that growing up. I don't look like my dad. You know, we don't look like each other. I don't play the same sports my dad played. We speak in a different style, but we believe the same thing.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you're looking for me to show up and sound like my dad and look like him, you'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
We're talking today to Ryan Dobson. His latest book, which we've been discussing in part, is Wanting to Believe. And you can find out more about that and the work of Ryan Dobson on either of these websites, drjamesdobson.org or jamesryandobson.com. We'll be back with more conversation in just a moment. You're listening to Licensed to Parent.
Being a teen in today's culture is tough. Being a parent of a troubled teen can be even tougher. If you feel like pulling your hair out or worse, your family may be in crisis. Sometimes we make light of our family situations to help us deal with them, but that really doesn't fix the underlying problems. Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help find the root of the problem, as well as healing and hope. But if residential care is not a fit for you, Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching can provide you with decades of experience from the front lines to help you overcome the challenges your family is facing. And best of all, we meet with you where you are with simple phone calls. Family Coaching is a dynamic partnership that helps you discern God's will and reach goals for your family that are biblical. Basically, live the life your family was designed for, and that's no joke. Information about Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching is available at licensedtoparent.org.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis. And with us is the host of Licensed to Parent, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosl, and our special guest today is Ryan Dobson, and we've been talking about his book, Wanting to Believe. Trace?
Ryan, I didn't have the growing up that you did, unfortunately. But my parents were divorced when I was 5 years old, and as crazy and rough as my dad was, he never missed a Friday picking up my sister and me from my mom's house. Never, not one time. I can't articulate how much that meant to me and still means to me to this day. It overshadows every shortcoming he may have had as a parent. Now, chapter 5 of your book is called Be There. I know you are largely referring to heaven, but can you explain to our listeners how important it is and why for parents to be there, even here in the here and now?
Oh, yeah. Because you're their support group. You know, you're the ones they lean on. That's been my dad my whole life. You know, the Be There story happened after Pistol Pete Maravich passed away. Hmm. My dad and he were playing basketball together, and unbeknownst to Pete, he had a heart defect, and he had a heart attack, passed away right there on the spot.
Yeah.
And when my dad got home, he said, Ryan, you know, I had to call a wife and kids today and tell them what happened to their dad, and he didn't get to say goodbye to his kids. And that call may come to you someday. And he said, I just want you to promise me you're going to be there. When I get to heaven, promise me you're going to be there. And that's been the story. But my parents have been there for my sister and I, and now my wife and I and my kids, my whole life. One of the simplest ways he does this is by answering the phone. You know, my dad's a busy man.
Right.
When he and Focus parted ways, he was in charge of a $160 million organization with 1,500 employees and 700 volunteers. But if I call, he answers.
Mm-hmm.
He has picked up the phone in the studio in the middle of a broadcast. He's picked up the phone in the middle of a board meeting. He'll pick up the phone at any time. If I need him, he gets on the phone for me. And it's his way of saying, hey, man, you're more important.
You matter.
I know I've got a guest here. I know this is my job. I know that they've traveled a long way and this is important to them. But everyone needs to know that family comes first,
right,
and he practices what he preaches. He's there for us. You know, there have been times, there have been crises. You know, in 2013, in October of 2013, my health failed badly. I was hospitalized for a while and came really close to being in a coma. My dad was there for me. You know, he got me to the right people, the right doctors, the right treatment. I mean, he bent over backwards. He called in favors. And it's the action He cares about me. He'd do the same for my sister. He'd do the same for my kids and my wife.
Sure.
It's his action. He's there for me, and he is today, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Ryan, what can parents do or say to their teenagers when the teen says, "Mom, Dad, I want to believe in Jesus, but these kids are just too caught up in the distractions of the world, digital technology, you know, Facebook, social media." How do you deal with that?
Oh, it's hard, especially if there's been no restrictions beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's been unlimited screen and phone and computer and TV and all that, you know, all along, breaking that cycle is breaking an addiction. You know, TV is created to create a desire in people.
Sure.
I mean, it is absolute 100% fact. If you play children's programming to kids and you put a bowl of Goldfish crackers in front of them, they'll eat some.
Mm-hmm.
If you play the exact same programming but include children's commercials, they eat 60% more.
Is that right?
They do this because psychologists have learned how to create a need in you. And it doesn't have to be about food. They can create a need in you for a toy, and you fulfill that need by eating more food. They are not looking out for your best interest or the best interest of your children.
That's exactly right.
They're trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to realize that. It doesn't mean there it's an evil empire out to get you,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean it's not.
Right.
Their first goal is money and only money. So you got to limit that. You got to limit the poison that's in your house. And starting, that's difficult. I mean, you got to bargain, bribe, you know, do whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to introduce the priority of the Lord. You know, in my
yeah.
family, we're reading the Bible, the whole Bible as a family.
Awesome.
I've got a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old. I'm 45. My wife is younger than me. And I got to be honest, it's been a lot of pressure to try to create family devotions that relate to a 3-year-old, an 8-year-old, myself and my wife. And there's a lot of pressure. And sometimes my response is just to not do it. And I woke up one morning and said, why don't we just read the entire Bible as a family? That's a huge undertaking. And I thought, you know, my 3-year-old will not understand most of what we talk about. She's just too young. But the lesson she's going to learn is that this book is a priority to our family,
yeah.
and we read it every single day.
Yeah.
And then when she's old enough to understand, she'll know why it's that much of an importance. We're back in Genesis right now, and we're going through the flood.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's talking about the curse of the animals, that they'll be afraid of man. And I said, Lincoln, before Adam and Eve fell, there was no killing. You know, you could pet a lion, and you could play with snakes, and cats and dogs would play together. It was no big deal. But sin entered evil into the world. It entered death into the world. And that was one of the curses. And he was like, wow. And we talked about the rainbow and what the rainbow means. At 8, he's picking up on that.
Sure.
That's awesome.
But it's hard to get a little boy, an 8-year-old, to sit still to read the Old Testament. I don't know what I'm going to do in Leviticus. So you know what I did? I bribed him.
Right.
And I'm going to get a bunch of flack from parents.
No.
I bribed my 8-year-old.
You won't get it from me.
I said, Lincoln, reading the Bible is a huge undertaking, but it's important. And so I want you to pick out the greatest prize you can possibly think of for our accomplishing this major goal. And he picked something out that's, I don't know, it's $200 or $300. It's a lot of money. But I know how long it's going to take us to read the Old Testament. And I got a lot of time to save. And in the meantime, my 8-year-old now begs us to read the Bible to him every single day.
That's awesome.
Because he knows there's a reward at the end. And who cares? Because he gets to hear the Word of God every single day. And he wants it. And he associates it with something positive.
Yep. And you know what? Whatever their brain doesn't assimilate, their spirit does.
Amen.
And it will manifest itself down the line.
And by the way, just as a side note to your reward system, it's good to be able to see those benchmarks along the way, the mileposts when you're trying to accomplish a goal. You could even get like a big pickle jar or something and be dropping change in there every time you read some of the Bible. And as
right.
he sees that filling up, you've mm-hmm. got, you know, look, we're halfway there, or look, we're whatever. And we've done similar things with our kids, and they can kind of look and go, wow, we've got a lot of money saved up for fill in the blank here. So,
huh. Ryan, where would you be right now if your parents had not practiced what they preached?
Oh, jail. Probably. Honestly, people say that and they say that's a joke. You know, they say it facetiously, but I don't. I am very, very, very ADHD, and I have been my entire life.
Join
and
a club.
I've studied a lot. I've studied, I've read, you know, 100 books on ADD and tons of research papers. I love research. I like that. It's fascinating to me. There are very interesting characteristics with kids who have ADD. One of the positives is most of them have very, very, very high IQs. It is a huge anomaly how high their IQs are. Mm-hmm. But the other one is there's a huge percentage of them that go to jail.
Yeah.
Because they're smart, they're hyperactive, and idle hands are the devil's work.
Well, they think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, they're pioneers. Rather than settlers, like most people are, these people are pioneers. We was talking to Cynthia Tobias on a previous program about that very thing. You're absolutely right. What do you think is the greatest mistake that Christian parents make when it comes to wanting their kids to accept their faith? And how do they fix it?
Being afraid of it. The two things. One, being a friend and not a parent. Mm-hmm. I love my kids. I like spending time with them. Lincoln and I are Lego junkies. We do it all the time together. I love that. But I am the parent. There's no mistake with that. I'm the parent. Even when we joke around, mm-hmm. I'm still the parent.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And when you blur those lines, you know, you lose your authority in that. And they need to understand that. And it's a trust factor, too. It helps them. They can trust you. That's something I talk about with my kids. I want them to trust me. I have their best interest in mind.
That's awesome.
Our guest today has been Ryan Dobson, a man who passionately pursues his calling in Christ as an author, as the co-host of the syndicated radio program Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. He also speaks across the country and uses every opportunity to call people out of moral relativism into what he calls the ultimate adventure. Ryan, it is always a blast having you on the program here. Trace has hogged your book, Wanting to Believe. I'm going to pry it out of his fingers so I can go through more than a cursory glance of it. And for our listeners, you can find that book, Wanting to Believe, online at jamesryandobson.com, or you can go to the ministry's website, drjamesdobson.org. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank
it's
you,
always
sir.
A treat.
Oh, I love it. Anytime. Call anytime. I love being with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bless you, Ryan. Thanks for taking the time.
And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. If we can be of help to you and your teen in crisis, please do contact us. You can find us online through the Licensed to Parent website at licensedtoparent.org. While you're there, please remember that this ministry, this outreach of Shepherd's Hill, is only made possible through your generous support. If you would consider prayerfully making a financial contribution to help keep Shepherd's Hill moving forward, to help teens in crisis and their families, and also to help the outreach of this radio program, we would be so grateful. Again, you can find out more details and you can give securely online at licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rozell. Thanks so much for joining us. Please be back with us again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.